Well, guys, good morning and welcome to New Sharon and the Assembly of God. My name is Pastor Mike, and I want to say thank you for joining us today. And I'm thrilled that you've chosen to join us today. And I'd like you to know, and I think most of us know this, but just so we know, it's no mistake that you're here today. There's a reason that you're here. There's a reason why God brought you here today. And I would just encourage you to be open to His Word and what He's speaking to you this morning. Today we continue on in our six-week series. We're in week number three of our six-week series, Armor Bearer. And today we look at the third piece of armor that Paul tells us to put on. And that piece of armor is the shoes of the gospel of peace. And today I've titled the sermon, Walking on Thorns. And if you'd look here, Arvin was so kind to bring me black locust thorns. Has anybody been poked by one of these before? These don't feel good, do they? And I've actually got a story to share about those here in a minute. But if you have your Bible this morning, I hope you or someone next to you has one that you can look on with. Let's open it to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. And while you turn there, I'm going to share that story now. So if you will, I'd like for you to think about summer. And with summer comes hot, breezy days, right? Beaches, water, right? This is what summer is. It sounds good right now, doesn't it? And so this story is about my last summer working for the Keokuk County Conservation Board. And we had just gotten several days of rain. And my friends and I like to go swimming at Lake Belvedere at the beach. And my buddy Jay and I and a couple of others were going swimming that afternoon. And Jay, he decided he wanted to be the first one in the water, so he jumps out of the car and just sprints towards the beach. And swimming ended before it even started. Do you know where I'm going yet? With heavy rain, especially in a lake that's got a creek flowing through it, there's a current. We understand that, right? With heavy rain, it stirs stuff up. And we had southerly winds, the beach is on the north side, and it faces south. And as what had happened is some black locusts, so when they built Lake Belvedere, they flooded it with the trees in it. And the trees will eventually fall, and it becomes habitat. Okay? It's good for the ecology. Is that right, Griffin? In the environment, the ecology, yeah? Something like that anyways? I don't know. I was going to school for it. You'd think I would know better. So these had washed in to the beach, and Jay impaled his foot with one of these little boogers. Sorry, I'm just remembering the... His girlfriend tried to grab a hold of it and pull it out of his foot for him. And I had one of the conservation officers' phone numbers that was working, and I called him, and I was like, hey, we kind of need you. We have a situation over here. And he came over, and I won't say his name, but he was like, well, what do you want me to do? I was like, well, pull the dumb thing out. And so he asked Jay if he could try to pull it out because his girlfriend couldn't get it to pull out. And so he grabbed multi-tool pliers from his belt and latched onto Jay's foot and tried to pull it out. Would you know how tough these little boogers are to pull out? Could not get it to come out. And so what happened was he ended up in the emergency room and they had to slice his foot to be able to get this out of his foot. I want to know how many people just winced thinking about that whole thing. So they had to surgically remove the black locust thorn from his foot. And he was on crutches for a couple of weeks. Because do you know how sensitive your feet are, by the way? Yeah, it hurts. And so he was on crutches for a few weeks while his foot healed up and was able to put pressure on it again. And it's easy for us to take for granted how important our feet are until something happens to our feet, right? And so this ties in perfectly with today's sermon. I've titled it Walking on Thorns, but the point behind it will become clear here just in a second. Let's go to our scripture here this morning, Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. And it says this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, verse 13, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." Our focus today, of course, is the third piece of armor. And that's found in verse 15. Let me reread that. "And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace." There's a whole lot there, right? That's a wordy sentence to begin with, but there's a lot there. The first thing that we have to do is we have to ask, why does Paul talk about shoes? Think Roman soldier. What have we been talking about so far? The belt that holds all the armor together, the breastplate of righteousness, which does what? Protects the important things, right? And now we have to understand how shoes can be important to the Roman armor. Well, with that, it also tells us why it's important for us to put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. Some versions actually will say greaves, G-R-E-A-V-E-S, greaves of brass, which would also be understood to say shoes of brass. So, and actually it would be like the below the knee down would be covered with brass to protect the leg and the foot. Just like the breastplate of righteousness protected the important organs, especially the heart, the shoes protect and defend the feet against gall traps, and I'll show you a picture of what a gall trap here is in a minute. Sharp sticks, okay, just imagine this is the sharp stick, okay? Against gall traps, sharp sticks, and it's meant to obstruct and stop the marching army. Those who stepped on a gall trap or the sharp stick became unfit to march. If you had one of these stuck in your foot, how well are you going to walk? You could hop on one leg. What if you had one in each foot? You resort to crawling, right? And that's not a very effective soldier. So their feet became useless. So here's what the shoes did. The shoes also gave them traction. And so compared to shoes of the day, have you ever tried to climb a mountain with sandals on or with flip-flops on? I know they make really rugged sandals now that like strap in like four-wheel drive. I'm talking about flip-flops, all right? Can you imagine trying to climb a mountain with that? And so these shoes, they gave them traction. And it made it easier to traverse into these hard areas, these rough situations. But these shoes, if you can, imagine the shoes had spikes on them. So they had spikes here around the toe, but they also had spikes underneath of them. And these spikes were meant to do a couple of things. Not only did it provide traction, but it would cause damage to the enemy. Whether kicking, or, as the very graphic commentary that I read, trampling over. So the image they paint is the Roman army advancing on the enemy, and their guys are falling in front of them, and a whole army is marching over them. Can you be Imagine getting walked on by a shoe of nails. Who's getting up after that? Right? So it's meant to trample the enemy, okay? Right here. I had to go to Google to figure out what a gall trap was. There's a whole Wikipedia page and all kinds of stuff. Look at this. Unlike those black locusts, look at the hook. If that goes in your foot, what's happening? It's going to hurt. And then look at this one here. It's like backwards. The hook's backwards. So just imagine these being all throughout the battlefield and walking across that without a pair of shoes on your feet. Ouch. Right? So, do we have to watch out for gall traps today? Are those all over the ground where we walk? No. Are there black locusts? If you go to Arvin's farm, the answer is yes, because these came from Arvin. But in New Sharon, like in your normal day-to-day, how many times are you encountering this and having to be careful to walk around it? You're just not, right? So we have to talk about this and make it relevant for us today. So what did the shoes do? They protected their feet, they provided traction, and they allowed it to trample over people to keep the enemy down. We don't have to watch out for gall traps. But do shoes protect our feet? Do boots protect our feet? Yes, they do. Do they provide us traction? Yes, they do. Are we trampling on people? No, we don't need them for trampling on people. And we certainly don't have to wear metal shoes today. Does anybody have metal shoes on right now? Nobody? No steel toes, right? The whole point of steel toes is to protect your foot, though, isn't it? So remember, this is important. We're not in a physical battle. So this is why we don't need all this stuff, because we're not in a physical battle. This is an unseen spiritual battle that we are fighting. So to understand how this pertains to us today, why we need to put on the shoes of the gospel of peace, we have to understand what is meant. What did Paul mean by when he said, the readiness given by the gospel of peace? Well, let's answer that this morning. To understand the gospel of peace, it's this, the word gospel. What does the word gospel mean? Anybody? Good news. Well, what's the good news, Mike? Well, the good news is referring to the sacrifice that Jesus made so that we can be forgiven and free from sin and be reconciled to God the Father. As a result, that brings you peace, right? If you've received forgiveness of your sins, have stepped into a relationship with Jesus, you have peace. Peace can be defined as the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. There is no other peace than that peace. The readiness refers to always being ready, always being willing to go to spread the gospel, the good news. With the readiness given by the gospel of peace, we must be equipped. And how do we equip ourselves? First, it's by living a life submitted to the gospel of peace. We submit to Christ's authority in our life. We live a life of repentance. So when we recognize and we understand that we've been forgiven of our sins, we've been made new, that protects us and arms us against the temptations of sin that we may encounter later on. And then, it protects us from the designs meant to render us incapacitated. And that comes from our enemy, Satan. When we talk about readiness, soldiers had to be ready for battle at a moment's notice. When you're called to arms, it's now. Church, we're the same way. When God calls us to battle, we need to be ready. If we're to be ambassadors for Christ and if we're to spread the gospel, we must be ready to enter battle at a moment's notice. Just like having a good pair of shoes can help us walk across rough terrain, it gives us confidence in Christ when we're ready. When we're ready to go in, we have that confidence of Christ with us. And it allows us to boldly proclaim His name. Because what would Satan rather us do? He would rather us step on the trap, stop, quit talking, render us incapacitated. Who knows that when you share the gospel, you can be faced with adversity? Can you be rejected? Can it be uncomfortable? Can people get mad at you? Or hostile? It's not just that. We can struggle ourselves to actually share the gospel. Which I would encourage you, that shouldn't be the case. This is why Paul tells us to put on the shoes, so we can always be ready to share the gospel. The same way the shoes benefited the Roman soldiers, it benefits us today. The gospel of peace, it protects and defends us. It gives us traction, and it tramples the enemy beneath our feet. So when I talked about Jay, I'm going to tell a second story about Jay here. So several years later, he's getting married. He asked me to be a groomsman of his wedding. Alicia and I were newlywed. I agreed to be part of his wedding. And I didn't know what to expect. If you know what I'm talking about, after you've changed, you know, God has changed your life. He's freed you from your sin, forgiven you, released you of addictions and temptations. And then you find yourself in that situation with the people you used to do all that stuff with. You understand where I'm going here? It can be hard, right? It can be challenging. And as my best friend going through high school, he calls you and asks you to be a groomsman. What do you say? The answer can't be no, right? It's like it's almost a mandatory yes. And so we went to the wedding. I was in the wedding. And they married, I don't even remember where they got married. I just remember a really small, quaint little church in the country, somewhere, I don't even remember now, it's down by Fairfield. Just a real small little church and private, nice little wedding. And then the bridal party rode on a party bus to Fairfield, to the reception. And, what do you do as a bridal party member? You ride the party bus. And so I got on the bus reluctantly. Actually, Alicia followed behind, and I was like, why can't I just ride with her? Because that's selfish, and you need to ride the party bus. And so that was probably the longest, like, 20 to 30-minute ride of my life. And especially as someone who came and struggled with tobacco, alcohol, language, inappropriateness, like, take it out, get rid of it, and then put that person right back into it, right? It's hard. And I basically had to sit by myself, and I just stared out the window. And in a party bus, the seats are facing each other. They're not like the school bus, right? I know. They're facing each other, so you're literally just watching all this chaos going on around you, and alcohol's being consumed. I don't want to say, just not appropriate, okay? There's a can of chew getting passed around, all the groomsmen are packing their lips, because that's the cool thing to do, and conversations being had that shouldn't have been. Now, they were celebrating, fine, but not behavior and not a situation that's befitting of a Christian. And so, very hard situation to sit through. When we got to the reception, most of the party was already inebriated, and one of the groomsmen, we sat down to eat. One of the groomsmen, he was an upperclassman for us. He would have been 2 years above us in high school. And he leaned back at the dinner table and hollered down to me. And he said, Mike, why aren't you drinking with us? Why aren't you partying with us? That's not who you are. You want to talk about the doors being wide open to share the gospel? What did I do? I cowered. I said, you know, I just decided I didn't want to drink anymore. But if you've been here for a minute, you know the truth. You know that God radically took me out of alcohol, took me out of using tobacco, released me from all of that addiction. The doors were wide open to share the gospel, and I cowered. I gave an unsatisfactory answer, and I said, you know, I just decided I didn't want to do that anymore. And just as soon as the conversation started, the conversation ended. He turned back and went back to his food, and we didn't talk the rest of the night. And it's immediately after it happened. Have you ever done something so stupid that when you're done, it's like, wow, that was really silly. I knew better. I know I'm not the only one. As soon as that conversation ended, just instantly convicted and just, are you serious? This is what you chose to do. Now, a couple of things I want to talk about with this. Did I lose my traction? Yeah. I lost some traction in that conversation and with that person. My ability to share the gospel with them was stripped. Instead of saying, you know, God radically changed my life and actually took the desire for alcohol completely away from me. And in fact, just in December, I opened every can of alcohol in my fridge and dumped it down the drain in celebration of it. And I've not wanted it ever since. That was the correct answer. So now when I go back and I say, you know, Jesus actually did this, does it have as much punch, if you will? Does it have as much impact? No, it doesn't. So I've put my ability to share the gospel with them in jeopardy. I didn't trample the enemy, meaning I didn't share the gospel with someone who may have been receptive to hearing it. Now, you can argue that, well, he was inebriated. He probably doesn't even know what you said that night. Listen, Jesus Christ does not care. Can he take you completely out of a buzz? Yes, he can. If he can free you from this, that, and everything, he can take away the effects of the alcohol and drugs in your system. But I'll never know. Because I could have said, yes, here is what really happened. We may have had a revival service at that wedding. I don't know. Well, when God opens the door, the readiness of the gospel of peace has to be present. Now, if we look back at that story, I can still say I was protected. I was put in a situation, I got on the bus. I put myself in the party bus, and that was probably the hardest, most tempting. I was with all the people that I partied with when I was in high school and college. That was the hardest, most tempting atmosphere to put me in. But there's something stronger. But knowing that God had forgiven me of my sins, He saved me, He released me from these temptations and these addictions, gave me the ability to say no to the temptation that was at hand. For the gall trap, if you will, or the black locust thorn set in the path for me to step upon and cause me to stumble. See, having our feet fitted with the shoes of the gospel of peace allows us to be ready to share the gospel of peace, to share God with others at all times. As Christians, we must always be prepared to give an answer, right? We never know when the opportunity may arise. Did I go into that thinking I was going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ that night? No, I did not. I thought if I could just survive the 2 to 3 hours, everything will be fine. However, we never know when that opportunity may arise, when it may present itself to share the good news of the gospel with someone. Ultimately, the shoes of peace equip us to fight the battles that Christ calls us to fight. It gives us power in the spiritual forces, against the spiritual forces that we may face. If you lack peace in your relationship with God, I would say it's time to reevaluate your position. Because if we've received the gospel, peace is just a natural side effect of receiving that, right? If you don't have peace, it's time to reevaluate. Now, you may step on gall traps or thorns. You may step on those. You may lose traction. You may even be trampled by the enemy in a situation. More so if you aren't wearing shoes. The gospel of peace. We cannot be rooted or effectively share the gospel if we are not confident in our relationship with God, or we are stuck in sin. If Satan can attack us, if he can cause us to lose ground, or if he can stand in our way, you best believe he will. What is his job? To keep people from the hands of Christ. And what is our job? It's to carry the good news everywhere we go, and always being ready to give definition to why we believe. Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, verse 13 through 15, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." We like to just take that verse, but let's read what's behind it. How then can they call on the name of the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Worship team, if you want to come on up. So here's how we do this, folks. We have to ask God to give us the confidence of his peace. We are protected, we have the shoes, we have confidence in his peace. We need to ask him to give us wisdom in our life, in our conversations, that we would have the opportunity to share the gospel, even if it's at a wedding reception where everybody is under the influence. It's a perfectly acceptable place to share the gospel. Okay? God is more powerful than alcohol. He's more powerful than doubt. And he's more powerful than the enemy, Satan. So if you're willing to put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, you will be able to march into battle with the only message that matters, that Jesus died for our sins, that he rose again to defeat death, and that we may be reconciled to God the Father. You want peace? That's peace. When others hear the gospel of peace, our prayer and our hope is that they would respond and that they would also get their new pair of shoes and they would put those shoes on and tie them. Because as a new Christian, you better believe they have a battle to fight. They're going to face a battle. So church, we must have the readiness. We must be ready. We must be diligent, and we must work, and we must share the gospel of peace, and we have to have our shoes on to protect us. More so as we work. Churches, as we continue to move forward with our mission and vision of engaging our community for Jesus, you better believe we're gonna face trials, tribulations, hostility. We've done a good job, and we haven't seen. I believe in this church. I believe in the people of this church. And I know the hearts of the people of this church. So, strap on the armor and let's go knock down the gates of hell. And let's bring every person who doesn't know the name of Jesus the name of Jesus through the gospel of peace. It's each and every one of our jobs to go out, to be ready. And when that door opens, Mike, why'd you quit drinking? Because it had nothing to do with me. I've tried and failed many times. But God said, Mike, I've got a better plan for you, and today's your day to be done. Tell me that that's not a testimony that people are like, wow. You all have your own testimony. You all have your own situations that you've been pulled from, that you've been freed from, that you can go and say, this is who I was, but then I met Jesus. And now this is who I am. Because I'm not that person that used to party with you. I've actually found peace, and I have a freedom that I never had before. It is our job to share the gospel of peace. And this is how we engage our community for Jesus. Amen? If you guys would, I'd like you to bow your heads and close your eyes here for a minute. We have to be intentional, right? That's the first thing. We have to be intentional about putting on the shoes. We can't put them on, though, if we don't have them. How do we have the shoes? Well, it's through a relationship with Jesus. It's literally, we can't obtain the shoes without the gospel of peace, and that's through Jesus, the good news and peace through Jesus. So our first step to get the shoes, our first step is to repent and to start living for Him, to make a decision for Him. I want to ask everybody in here today, every person, and you don't have to respond out loud, but respond to yourself. Do you believe in Jesus? Have you put your trust and your life in His hands? If the answer to those questions is not an overwhelming, resounding yes, I would encourage you to check your heart this morning. Listen to what God is saying. He's calling you to Him. It's His desire that none should perish, but all would come to everlasting life. He is calling you. He desires for you to have a relationship with Him. So this morning, if that answer wasn't a resounding yes, I would encourage you, whether this is in a new way or a fresh way, if you recognize you have a need for Him in your life, for forgiveness of your sins, and you need a relationship with Him, would you just raise your hand this morning? Every eye is closed, heads are bowed, nobody's looking at you. Amen. Church, I'd like to close in this way today. The altar is open. It's always open. It's open for you to come, to seek God, to pray, to receive prayer. And as worship leads us through a song today, before we exit, the shoes equip us. They defend us. They give us traction. My question to you today is, what shoes are you wearing? Are you using them for the intended purpose? Church, we must have the readiness given by the gospel of peace. My question to you today is, are you ready to tell? Are you ready to tell? Have you missed opportunities to share the gospel? Did you step on a gall trap? Did you get stopped as you went in to go share the gospel? Church, today we have to commit to putting on the shoes. We have to commit to using them for what they were intended for, because we must be ready. So this morning, it's always hard to know what's the appropriate way for each sermon, depending on how it goes, and the Lord leads us in that. But this is, guys, this isn't anything besides committing to putting on the armor. If we want to be effective Christians, if we want to know how to operate and how to go about, we have to be willing to put that armor upon ourselves. I asked you this a couple of weeks ago, if you would stand, if you would put on the belt of truth. I'm going to ask you to stand again today. If you're in here and you're willing to stand because you commit to putting on the shoes of the gospel of peace, would you just stand this morning? Everybody take a look around. It's quite the army. Are we ready to face it when the attacks come? Are we ready to tell when the door is open? The fact that those of you who have stood say yes, I say good things are in store for New Sharon in 2023. Amen. Amen.